I was thinking about this. I realised just how common it is these days to hear people say something along the lines of, bless you. I had a donor the other day who was saying that a couple of times. Or they might say, what a blessing such is. Or they might just say, ah, bless. It seems to be a phrase that comes out a lot, whether it's current at this time and was less so in the past, I don't know. But it seems to occur quite often when I hear it. And I sometimes wonder, do people understand or mean what they say? Or perhaps it's just a phrase they've got into. There might be plenty of others that they've used in the past that have become in sort of common usage. Or maybe they have a rough understanding and they really mean it. It's difficult, but the word bless is used a lot. And here we have God's blessing. It's given to the priests, but it's from God. We've said and thought about the fact that Moses had set out the tabernacle as he'd been instructed. He'd given guidance to all the priests and all the workmen as they did all the work. It's described in great detail through the Old Testament, the early part. All the rituals have been set out, all the different roles have been given. But then we get this brief instruction to the priests. And it might seem a little bit out of place, but the tabernacle had been set up. Everything was set and ready. And God was going to bless his people. So we get the blessing. We'll just read it again to remind ourselves. So God says to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So we're going to think through, just briefly, about these things. First of all, what is a blessing? What does it mean to bless? Secondly, what is in this blessing? And then thirdly, what's the effect that it has on us of the blessing? So what is a blessing? What is in this blessing? And what's the significance to us? So first of all, let's look at what a blessing is. So we've had the careful instructions, we've had the blessing given to Aaron and the priest to deliver. If you look up in the Bible, the Hebrew word is berek or barak, and it's used by God many, many times in the Bible, over 300 times. And it's used in different ways. God promises to bless Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So he's ordered Abram to leave his land and his people and to go out to where he will be sent. And God says that in leaving, he will also bless Abram. And we have the first use of a blessing even earlier than that. So in Genesis chapter 1, and verse 28, we have the description of the creation. And then God makes man in his own image. And then in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So Adam and Eve received this blessing early on. People, humans, made in God's image, receive a blessing from God. So here we have a similar blessing that God gives to the people and delivers it. In the New Testament, a Greek word is used instead of barak for bless or blessing, and it's a word which you look it up, something like eulogio, can't pronounce it particularly, but it's related, I think, to the word for eulogy. Somebody's funeral, somebody will stand up and will give a eulogy. It's words of praise, words of thanksgiving, words sort of building up the person, saying what was good about this person and how they'll be missed. In English, if you look up the word bless, it goes back to Middle English and Old English, but it has the idea of asking for God's favour or protection, or to be consecrated. In this passage, we read about the tabernacle being set up, and then it's going to be consecrated, it's going to be blessed by God, it's going to be established into a working, effective tabernacle. And the word bless has that idea of consecration. To give honour or glory to grant happiness, health, prosperity to. It's a very rich word, just five letters in English, bless, but it means so much. The origins of the word bless goes back to the idea of sprinkling blood onto an altar. So you sprinkle blood on to make the altar holy and to sanctify it, to use it. It has the idea of sprinkling blood. And it's appropriate this morning when we remember the Lord in the bread and the wine. We remember his blood sprinkled for us on the cross. So the blood was spilt, and through him we receive the blessing. So when we pray, we ask God to bless someone, we're asking for their general well-being. We're asking God to have his hand upon them, to show goodness to them. We're asking him to deliver all those things through the shed blood of Christ. We could also seek to praise God, to return the blessing, to adore him, to praise him, to increase his name and his character. And that's used throughout the scriptures as well. So just for example, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10, Judges 5 and verse 2, and in the Psalms, many times in the Psalms, phrase is used to bless God. So Psalm 16 and verse 7, I'll just read quickly. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. So we can bless God, we can return that praise to him. So you've got a rough idea what a blessing is, a rich word. But then what's in this blessing? Let's turn to consider what this blessing tells us. So first of all, we're told that it's for Aaron and the priest to deliver. It's a holy importance. It wasn't just something to be used lightly. It had a real significance. And it's a blessing that's still used today. Not surprisingly, it's still used by Jewish people as they meet in the synagogue. And it's used in Christian churches as well. We often use it as a benediction. Benediction meaning a good word, speaking a good word to the people. In a Jewish synagogue, it would be delivered by a priest or a rabbi, somebody who's appropriate, who's respectable, reputable. They will raise their arms and make a shape with their hands to represent the Hebrew letter Shin, which is a bit like our W. And that's meant to indicate the name Shaddai, God, God Almighty. That's how it's often translated now in our Bibles. So it's holding that name of God up before the people. Such is that holiness of that sometimes the priest will cover their hands with a prayer shawl so it cannot be seen by the people. The idea that if you look on the face of God, then that you would face death. Sometimes the people who are listening will cover their heads with a prayer shawl as the blessing is given, so again they cannot see. In some places they turn their back on the priest so they cannot see it, but they can hear and receive the blessing. It just shows the solemnity of it, the power of it. It's something that's serious, it's sacred. It has meaning. They are hearing the words of God delivered by the messenger, by the priest, by the rabbi. But it's God speaking to them. And following all the careful structure that's been put into making the tabernacle, the blessing is carefully structured. It's only short, but it's carefully structured. God is the author, and then he instructs Aaron to deliver it. Just think quickly about the structure. It's got three lines to it, and in the Hebrew text, it's made up of three words, then five words in the next line, and then seven words. In the three lines, the first line is made as 15 characters, the next 20, the next 25. And often in Hebrew thought, numbers have a significance, there's a beauty. So structured, it increases from the first line through to the third line. And perhaps that gives the idea that blessing starts small and builds and builds. And it's like a river from a spring in a mountainside flowing down to a vast river that has power and can carry things away in it. It's a special blessing that we receive from God the day that we are saved, the day we put our trust in Jesus. And those blessings increase through our lifetime. We can look back through a lifetime of following Christ and know that we've received so many blessings. It might have seemed as a tiny blessing when we first believed, but we can look back and realise the enormity of the blessings that we have received. You could also think about the general blessings we receive that all people on earth receive. But people aren't really aware of just what great blessings we have. And that should fill us with joy that we have so many blessings because of him. Then next we note that the blessings come from God. We've already mentioned that. The Lord is used three times in these verses. And the Hebrew word is Adonai, which is actually a plural word, which I hadn't realised, meaning almost like the lordliness of our Lord, the godliness of our God, the majesty-ness, if there is such a word, of our majesty, our Lord. So the Lord is mentioned three times. The blessings come from him. His name is at the beginning of each of those lines. It doesn't start with us and say that we will receive blessing from the Lord. He is the focus. It is from the Lord. That should encourage us. We don't earn blessings. It doesn't matter how clever, how rich, how strong, how good looking, whatever you are. We can't train ourselves to receive blessings. We can't think ourselves positively to receive blessings, no matter what some people might say in the world around us. We receive them from God by his grace. That's amazing. And that should give us reassurance. It relies on him, not on us. But why repeat the Lord three times? Why say it three times? Some Jewish traditions appear to think that has relevance to the patriarchs. So Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, by saying three times that I am the Lord of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. As Christians we might think, well, it refers to the Trinity. We can't be sure. But it's a powerful effect, the emphasis, the repeated emphasis. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Three times. It makes it clear to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, we read, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. A phrase that we often use at the end of the service is a similar blessing that reminds us of the three persons of the Trinity. Three times the Lord. And then the Lord blesses us. We've mentioned that already. They're not just ones that are kept, but they will be given to us. The Lord is the focus, and he carries out his action. He blesses us. And how does he do that? In the first line of verse 24, that he will keep you. He will keep you. That protection, that we are his, we are in his hands. Nobody can take us from him. We have that eternal protection. No matter what we think or feel about ourselves, we are kept by our Lord. It depends on him. He will never let us go, no matter how dark, a lonely, difficult situation we're in. He is there. He will hold us. In verse 25, the Lord makes his face shine upon you. He will turn his face to us. So God doesn't have a physical face, but we get the image, the metaphorical image, that his face will turn towards us. When you meet somebody in the street and they turn their face towards us, they're getting us attention, they're paying us some notice. To have God turn his face towards us, it's really powerful. He has a special concern for his covenant people, those of us that the Old Testament is here, but the New Testament, the ones from the Old Covenant, and for us of the New Covenant. He has concern for us. He will turn and pay attention. And what will that face do? Well, it will shine. His face will shine upon you. If somebody smiles at you, it warms your heart. How much more if God turns his face and shines upon us? For it's like the sun bursting through the clouds on a grey day, a cold day. We stand there, you might turn your face towards the sun, you feel its warmth, you enjoy it, you might smile. At home, our dogs, if the sun shines through the window, will find the warmest spot on the floor. They will lie full length and go to sleep. They relish that. They will shuffle around to chase the sun as it moves across the floor. They will luxuriate in that. Do we do that? Do we seek God's blessing? Do we enjoy that time with him? Time studying his word in prayer? Or just reflecting about what he has done for us? the many examples of his grace. We know they're undeserved, but do we relish them? Do we thank him each day for that? Do we seek to spend time and to enjoy that light as we read his word? In verse 26, verse 25, he's gracious to us. Grace, the undeserved reward that we get. Reward from Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us. We receive those benefits. We shouldn't get them. But in his grace, he's given them to us. That, again, should encourage us. We have received so many examples of grace. And you could go down and make a list for yourself. You could go through the scriptures and find examples. But grace, undeserved love because of Christ. And again in verse 26 we have that image of the Lord lifting his countenance upon you, lifting and looking, giving attention. Choose that special focus and attention again. He knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We are a special people because we have been bought by Christ's blood. And what's the effect? Well, what we receive, peace, shalom, that positive well-being, that fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's not just a momentary, transitory thing. It's not just peace out of a certain situation. But it's an eternal peace. From when we are saved, we are with him. We have that knowledge, that peace in our hearts. It's all-encompassing. Every aspect of our lives covered by that peace. It may be that now on earth we don't always feel that. There'll be times when we go through difficulties, times we feel down or lonely or cold or sad, whatever. But we have that peace. We know we can trust him. Jesus told us about that peace in John chapter 14. Let's read that now. So John chapter 14 and verse 25. Jesus speaking to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The disciples Jesus knew would face great difficulty, great trials. Some would be martyred for the faith. And yet, he will leave his Holy Spirit with them to give them that peace. And we can look forward to that peace in eternity in heaven, of being with him, with all the redeemed saints there. That shalom. What a wonderful thing to think about. And finally, verse 27, we receive that name. "So they shall put my name on them, on the children of Israel, and I will bless them," says the Lord. My name. Names are significant. We've already mentioned two names, Shaddai and Adonai. The Lord and God Almighty. So many names are used for God, because one name cannot do enough justice to his nature, his character. But if we have his name on us, then we are his. We are saved, redeemed, and forgiven. We are adopted in his family because his name is upon us because of Christ. If we are Christ, then we're saved, and we can be certain of that. We receive all the privileges and blessings because we're adopted in his family. We have the rights and the privilege to turn to him in prayer and praise, and we're able to serve him because of the power and strength that he provides. Just one quick verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. It reminds us just something of that. "For there is no distinction there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." The Lord is rich to all who call upon him. He richly blesses us, no matter our background, no matter where we come from, no matter what we've done. He blesses us, and we receive that. So that's thirdly, just think about how that blessing should affect us. What should it do to us? Well, firstly, we can say it should fill us with joy. It's a wonderful, cascading blessing, and it should give us joy in our hearts. David, when he heard about what God had done for him, he cried out in a prayer to God in 1 Chronicles 17. You might want to read that at your leisure. But his prayer is full of praise to God for the blessings that he's received. So should our hearts be filled as well. Secondly, we should be reassured. We are his. He holds us in his hand. We are the apple of his eye, it says in Psalm 17. We are that important thing to him. We're not just something small and insignificant, although humanly we are, but to him we're important. We should be strengthened. We can do all things because of him. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can we. We have the same Saviour. We have the same Spirit within us. We can do all things. We should be comforted. God knows us and cares for us wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. Talking about blessing, your mind turns immediately to Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are, that whole list of people and situations. And we've looked at that in the last months and years, met me quite a few times. So many blessings there, a comfort, a help to those who are going through difficulties. And we should desire to share the blessings of knowing Christ with others, so we can have joy, be reassured, strengthened, comforted, and then have the desire to share this blessing with others. If they don't know Christ as their Saviour, then this blessing is meaningless to them. It's a nice form of words, but it means nothing more than a poem or some other bit of writing or a bus timetable. It has no significance. If today you're somebody who has not yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then this blessing isn't useful for you. You haven't come to the position of realising that you are lost, that you are still in what the Bible calls your sin, wrongdoing. You haven't turned to God and said, I'm sorry, I want to turn away from that. I want to live a new life, to be cleansed, to be clean. If you do want to do that, then look to the Bible, read the Gospels, find out about Jesus, pray to him, ask for forgiveness from him. Trust him, trust that death upon the cross. Speak to Christians about what it means to trust in Jesus. Ask their advice and help, but turn to him. Put your trust in him now. It's imperative you do that. Otherwise, you are resting only in your own strength, which will prove to be weak and ineffective. But if you are trusting in Jesus, we have that Spirit within us as our guarantee that that work of renewing and redemption has been fulfilled. If we have known a Saviour and we have trusted him, then this blessing is effective. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. He will be gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you, and he gives you peace, and his name will be upon you. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can read these words given to your priests in the Old Testament for the people of the Old Covenant, that through Christ we claim that blessing upon ourselves. We claim that we are your people because of him. We don't deserve that, but we can rejoice that we've been given that because of his grace and his mercy. Lord, we ask that this morning that you would strengthen our hearts, you will reassure us, you will comfort us, you will give us that overflowing joy of knowing that we are redeemed, and that you will give us that willing desire to reach out to others. And if there are people here today, Lord, that don't know you, we ask that you would do that work in their hearts, that you will touch them, that you will draw them to the Saviour and show them the need of him. And we ask that you would bless the thoughts that we've had. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we turn to our closing hymn, which is 739. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that will always feel thy blood so freely shed for me. Thank you.